Machshir and Perik Beis Mishnah Tesla Zecher Nishmas Yosef Melech Ben Mordechai Meir. We are still finding things in towns that are part Jewish and part non-Jewish. In this case, a nice juicy piece of raw meat. Matzav ba basar. If in a town that some of the residents are Jewish and some are non-Jewish, he finds a piece of meat. Holchen acha rov hatabachim. We follow the majority of those who slaughter meat and sell raw meat. So we follow the butchers. If most of them are non-Jewish, then it's aser. If most of them are Jewish, then we say it's mutter. The Gemara then gets into the idea that Rav Paskins, that meat that has people have lost sight of it, disappeared from people seeing it, it's aser. So our Mishnah is talking about somebody who sees the meat fall from the hands of a shochet, or a butcher in this case, whose identity he is not sure about in this situation. But according to the Rav Mibartanur, the halacha doesn't follow Rav, so the Mishnah is kind of face value. So he followed the majority of the butchers. Im hayam avushal, if he found cooked meat, because he finds a nice juicy steak that's already cooked, hopefully sitting on a plate maybe, holchen acha rovo chle basar mavushal, then we follow the majority of the people who eat cooked meat in town. So if most of the Jews are vegetarians, and most of the people who eat cooked meat and cook the meat, do the cooking, are non-Jews, then the meat is aser because we assume that a non-Jew may have cooked it. Whether or not it was properly shechted, you have problems of bishul akum in this situation. Mishnah Yud, hamotzi peros baderech. If somebody finds produce on the road from the fields back to town, so this produce reached the Gemar Malacha stage where you have to take Trumos and Maestros out of it. And you're not allowed to eat, even just for a snack, anything that is no longer that has reached the stage of Tevel, Gemar Malacha, where it's ready to have Trumos and Maestros taken until you set them aside. So he finds it on the road. And so now it has no identifying mark. We have no idea. It belongs to him. So, Imrov Machnis and Levatehem, if the majority of the people who own the fields who bring this produce from the field into their houses, then Potter. Then he is Potter from having to set Trumas and Maestras aside if he's just snacking on them. Because in these cases, in many cases, you are allowed to snack on Tevel with an Achilas Arai without making it into a real meal. Just like anybody bringing it home, you can snack from it on the way. The limkar bashuk, but if the majority of people don't take stuff home, they take it to sell, and if it's going to be sold, it becomes required to bring trumas and maestros right away at Gemar Malacha, and you can't even eat it as a snack, then chayiv, he has to take out trumas and maestros from this produce that he found. Even if he wants the snack, he has to make sure that he takes out the proper trumas and maestros. It is still demai, however, because we don't know. Maybe the original guy who dropped it did take out Truma and Meisters already. So he's taking out only Truma and Meister of demai rather than the required Truma and Meister that's definite. Mechza lemechza, if half of the people who own fields bring it back to their houses, but the other half bring it out to market to sell, so we have no idea whether this one requires Truma and Meisters immediately or not, then demai, we treat it as demai. The found produce is demai, and we're not sure, so he has to take out trumas and maestros just like he would with demai. Even though it's a double suffix. First of all, maybe it's people who take it to their homes. Second of all, maybe somebody already took the truma and maestro from it. Nevertheless, he still has to do, despite the double suffix, he has to take out the tithing himself. It's not good enough to assume because of a double suffix that maybe you're off the hook. Otsar she Yisrael v'goyim matilin l'socho. If you have a storage house for grain, you have a silo, a shed, where both Jews and non-Jews store their grain there, im rov goyim vadai, im rov Yisrael demai. And he finds grain, if the majority of the people who use this silo are non-Jews, then it's vadai that no truma and meiser has been taken. If the majority are Jewish people, then it's demai, because an am haaretz, we are not sure if he took. And so you have to take truma and meiser and meiser sheni as well. Which you give to the Levim, or you have to, or the Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, depending upon the year. So if the majority are Jewish, then you have to treat it as Demai. If the majority are Goyim, you have to treat it as something that definitely wasn't gemaisered yet. Mechza lemechza vadai. If half of the people who are going to use this storage are Jews and half are non-Jews, then we have to treat it as definitely ungemaisered. And so it's liable to have Trumas and Maaseros taken off. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that if a non-Jew has possessions in Eretz Yisrael, it's still required to have Truma and Maaser taken off. So this clause about whether or not Jews and non-Jews use this storage facility is according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that you have to take off Trumas and Maaseros from the grain bought from Goyim or gotten from Goyim. The Chachamim omra, afilu kulam Goyim, v'Yisrael echad mati l'tocho demai. The Chachamim say, even if everybody who uses this barn are non-Jews, but one Jew uses it, then we have to treat it as demai. According to the Chachamim, non-Jewish possessions in Eretz Yisrael are exempted from Trumas and Maaseros. If one Jew had not used this barn, we could definitely know that it was all non-Jewish grain, which would be exempt from Trumas and Maaseros. But one Jew putting his stuff in the same barn then raises the question of maybe it is demai, because his grain is not neutralized or voided by the fact that 99.9% of the grain in there is owned and comes from non-Jews.